Just in case you're wondering, I didn't plan this gospel reading either. This is the gospel reading for this Sunday. But how many of our themes that we've been meditating on this weekend is found in this very simple passage? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God the Father breathed forth life, the life of the Son, so that we might not perish. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God sees us for who he created us to be, not our sin, and so on and so forth. So beautiful reading there. Wasn't what I was intending to preach on, so I just wanted to start with that, though, because it's, to me, it's a great one. So maybe as you go home and go about your daily business, kind of pick this reading up every once in a while and take a look at it. Maybe it'll remind you of a few things we discussed this weekend. But today, our third Mass together, wanted to reflect with you on the third enemy of man, the first being the world, the second being the flesh, and now we come to the devil. And truly, I think the most important thing to say about the devil, well, two things that are the most important. Number one, he exists. That may seem strange, but it is amazing how much that lie, namely Satan doesn't exist, is present in our world. It's one of the great lies that Satan tries to tell. I don't exist. I'm not here. But he does exist. But the second truth, and these are the two that I want to meditate on, that is more important than even that one, is that he has no power in Christ. Christ has conquered sin and death. Christ has conquered Satan. As I like to put it, we're just in the mop-up exercise right now. We're just cleaning up after the mess. Christ has won the battle. Now it's time for us to clean away the debris of that victory. And so indeed, the devil does exist, but he has no power if we are united with Christ. So let us take these two things. First of all, he doesn't exist. It's the propaganda of the devil. Because if he doesn't exist, if he can convince us that he doesn't exist, then he can ultimately attack us. And anybody who has any kind of knowledge of military tactics will tell you that the best attack is the surprise attack. When you're not expecting it, when you don't see it coming, that's the most effective attack. So if he convinces us that he doesn't exist, then his attack is that much more effective. And attack he will. Attack he will. And if that doesn't work, if he can't convince us that he doesn't exist, then the second stage, which is an extension of that, is what I like to refer to as the intimidation of Satan. He tries to intimidate us. Do we see the hand of Satan in some of the ordinary trials of our life? They are present, and he is present, and he is real. So we may say, yep, Satan exists, but then we don't see him anywhere. We're like, oh yeah, sure, the devil exists, but we don't see him tempting us in our daily life. We don't see him in the trials that arise in our daily life. We don't see him in the various activities that try to derail us, take us out, make us hopeless, telling us that you can't do it, your strength isn't there, in all the many sundry ways that Satan attacks. Do we really believe he exists? That means he's going to exist not just in theory, but in practice, in reality. I always tell people when I'm preparing, I'm very involved in the program here in the diocese called Sky Camp, which is summer camp for youth. It's a 3-day or 4-day camp, depending on which one, for students who have finished 5th and 6th grade, and those students who have finished 7th and 8th grade. And I've been involved with it. We just celebrated our 25th, I think, recently, years of having the Sky Camp. And got involved with it in about the third year that it existed. So almost 20 years I've been involved. So it's a great, great program. But I always tell people, if you're going to be a counselor, because we have high school and college students be the counselors, I say, be ready. Because the week before Sky Camp, things are going to go like terrible. I said, they're going to go to hell in a handbasket. Everything that could go wrong will go wrong. Every problem that you've ever imagined will double itself because Satan is attacking. Remember I told you the story about St. John Vianney. where Satan would attack him and he would laugh at him because he knew the next day a great sinner was going to come home to God. Satan was trying to take him away, trying to derail him, remove him, make him weak, take away his strength. Do we really believe that Satan exists? Not just theoretically, but he is present in these trials and tribulations. I also do not as much now being a pastor, but I used to do every year a TEC, which is a Teens Encounter Christ. It's a youth retreat weekend for high school students, seniors, juniors and seniors, and freshmen, sophomore in college. And I told the team the exact same thing. And so we would actually start praying. We'd start praying about 3 months before the TEC itself. Pray for strength. Pray for those students that are going to be on it. Pray for the strength to face the trials and the tribulations that Satan would throw our way to try to derail us. And every single time, I can tell you in my own personal life, I knew that the week before TEC was going to be an awful week at school. Kids were going to be wild. Teachers were going to have problems. I perished. Something was going to happen. I just assumed, and it did every time. And I just laughed at Satan. Nice try. Ain't going to work this time. Because I know he exists. Do we know that he exists? Not just theoretically, but truly in our day-to-day lives. He is there. He is the deceiver. He is trying to deceive you. He's trying to deceive me. He raises up conflict, discord. That is the tools, the weapons of Satan. Division, argument. And do we pray and ask for that strength to face the weapons of the enemy? When we are battling and fighting for beauty, whatever that beauty is that God has lifted up in your heart, that he has given you the passion to fight for, that's right where he's going to attack you. Is there any reason why we don't why is there a reason why we don't understand that it is the people that we love, the beauty in your life, your spouse, your children? Why is it that that's precisely where Satan attacks you? I'm not talking metaphorically, I'm talking literally. But remember the second half. He has no power when we are in the strength of Christ. But the third part of admitting his existence, not just does he exist theoretically, not just does he exist insofar as he's tempting me in probing and trying to get me to be knocked off course in my day-to-day lives in the trials and tribulations that he raises up. But finally, the last one is that Satan will try to get us to cut a deal. Try to cut us a deal with him. Just make a peace with him. And this is where we've been preaching and speaking about this weekend. When we talk about where we begin to identify ourselves with our sin. He whispers in our heart, you can't overcome it. Just, it's okay. It's no big deal. It's just a small thing. Don't worry about it. Even though it's destroying us. Tries to cut a deal with us. And you know what's interesting is how often Satan targets us, not only in our beauty that we have been called to rescue, to pour out our strength for, but doesn't he seem to attack us when we're bored? You remember the story of King David? Everybody knows King David. At least, let me rephrase that. I hope you know who King David is. If you don't, then you haven't been listening to the Sunday readings. But King David, notice, he started out very faithful. He was the chosen of God. He was very faithful. But the scriptures is very clear, and it's very fascinating, and it really should ring a bell for the theme that we've been developing this weekend, because, and I don't have my Bible as I pull it out and read it to you, but what the scripture says is that in the time of the year when the kings go to battle, David stayed behind. Notice, He stayed behind. He didn't engage in the battle. He didn't go forth to defend the beauty in his life. He stayed behind. And it was then, as he was strolling around on the roof of his palace, which is the tallest building, that he spied Bathsheba bathing. Which is, you know, we might think, what in the world was Bathsheba bathing on her roof? That was a normal thing at the time. In Israel, they didn't have air conditioning, so the coolest part of the house was after the sun was going down, it was the top, because the breeze would blow. Remember in the scripture, it talks about the breezy time of the day, the cool time of the day? So you'd be on your roof. Because down low, at street level, the houses and the buildings are so close together, you didn't get any air movement very much. If you've ever been to Europe, and you go into the old parts of the towns of Europe, the streets aren't 80 feet wide. They're maybe 2 or 3 or 4, well, not 2, but 3 or 4 feet wide. They're very narrow. They didn't have cars. They didn't need an 80-foot wide street. 4 feet was enough. And so you wouldn't be cool down there, so you would go to your roof. And the way the houses were built is the walls would go up and the roof would the roof was a flat roof, and the wall would go up another 4 or 5 feet, so you couldn't see the roof from the street level. So if you were walking down the street, you couldn't look up and see it. So it was a private area. But King David, the highest building in the entire city, and the only building that towered over the others, was the palace. And so he looked down and he saw Bathsheba. It was out of his weakness. He had given up his strength. He had given it away. And at that moment, he was targeted by Satan. When we give up our strength, it is then that he doesn't need to probe us. He doesn't need to try to convince us he doesn't exist. He just attacks because we don't have strength. But that's the first. Do we believe that Satan exists? Not just in theory, but truly in our day-to-day trials and tribulations. Do we hold on to our strength in the face of that? Because the second half is he has no power over us in Christ. That's the good news. What does it say here? But whoever lives, this is today's reading, but whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as what? Done in God. I have strength in he who strengthens me. St. John Vianney laughed at Satan. You know, in the face of our trials, it may seem odd, but laugh at them. Laugh at your trials. Satan, you can't get me down. I refuse to let you have power. Christ has power. And he does. Do we derive our sense of power from the Lord? How many times have we meditated on different aspects of that simple truth? Satan has no power. It's why I wear a scapular. Well, it's buried under too many layers, but it's there. I wear a brown scapular. Keep it right here, close to me. The only time I ever take it off is when I take a shower, because that's really gross to have a grimy, you know. So I take it off when I take a shower, but that's it. It's the only time. Otherwise, I have it on all the time. Every time I take it off for the shower, I kiss my scapular, because Our Lady will draw us ever nearer to her Son, Jesus, who is our power and our strength. Guard me and protect me. And the adventure that I was telling you about when I was named the principal at Newman, remember I told you about that? What was my prayer? God, I have no idea what's going to happen today, but you will guide me and you will strengthen me every day. I didn't have it all figured out. I was just, talk about an adventure, talk about a risk. Yeah, responsible for that many souls. That's a lot of risk. But in Christ, we have our power. And so also, when we face that, we don't have to be afraid. We respect the power of Satan, don't get me wrong. We should never be foolish enough to think, oh, Satan, he's just a little kitten. No, Satan does have power, but we have more in Christ. He cannot do anything to us. It's interesting when I speak, when I was teaching high school students, every year it always seemed to come up, and I don't remember what the particular context was that in my course of studies that I was, teaching, where in the syllabus it came up, but it always came up about Satan. And it was always interesting because the kids, a lot of times I taught freshmen, the majority of my years I taught freshmen. And, every time the topic of Satan would come up, they always were asking, oh, have you ever done an exorcism? And they were always into the spectacular and everything else, And I didn't go into that because that's not really what was their question. But what was interesting at the root of all those questions was, Father, have you lived the power of Christ? Because that's what they were really asking. Oh, have you been part of a exorcism? Did you beat Satan? Did you conquer him? I mean, they didn't use those words, but that was the nature of their question. So I didn't answer what they were asking. I answered what they were really asking. I said, yeah. And I told them, on a side note, I says, yeah, I have two guardian angels. Yeah, that's a pious belief that priests get a second guardian angel because we have to have one in front of us and one behind us. But I would teach them, and I'd teach them that it doesn't matter what you see in the movies and what you hear, he has no power. I said, you are strong in Christ. Don't be afraid. Take up the battle. Laugh at the evil one. It's important. We respect, but that doesn't mean we're afraid of. We belittle. I didn't plan the sound. Father Barone, not Barone. What was? Oh shoot! What is it? Baron? Yeah, I think that was it. Anyways, I didn't plan that, but when he was talking about that, he used that. He kind of went into that. And we don't have to be afraid of Satan. We don't have to be afraid of the evil one. So yes, Satan is real. He attacks us in our day-to-day. He seeks to hit us right where our wound is, the identity that we are founded upon. But we're stronger in Christ. And nothing can take us down. Notice King David, after he committed adultery and then murder, he found his strength again. One of the most beautiful psalms in the whole entire old book of Psalms, Psalm 51, where he cries out to God, renew in me a clean heart. Create in me a new heart. That's what God does. He renews us, strengthens us, gives us that power. I just want to conclude with a word of thanks to all of you that are here. Thank you for accepting God's invitation to come. Thank you for listening to my words that sometimes went a little longer than I was expecting. But thank you for being here, and know that I will pray for you, and I hope that you pray for me. One of the things that we tend to forget is that very often a retreat is just as much important for the retreat master as it is for the retreatants. So thank you for helping me grow, because I really have. It's been very good for me as well, personally. But let us continue on so that one day we may celebrate the victory with Christ. If you ever want to stop by St. Patrick's in Havelock, you're always welcome to. We're having the dedication of our new church on August 15th of this year, so stop by. I'd love to see that. If you want to contact me after the retreat, that's fine. Just look up stpatricklincoln.com, and you can send me a note, or you can call St. Patrick's in Lincoln. It's in the phone book. I'd be more than happy to talk to you if you want to continue with something. But it's been a real privilege, and I appreciate it. Let us continue now in our prayer and ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us.